All right, who wants to sign up? Yeah, oh, y'all crazy. So how many of you watched Felix Baumgartner jump from the stratosphere and saw it? Did anybody watch it live? Yes, how many here have been skydiving before? Man, one person. So, Tim, we're glad you're still here with us. And, hey, listen, that is incredible to watch. If you haven't seen, if you didn't hear the news, if somehow you were buried when this happened, it's not been too long ago. Felix Baumgartner wanted to break several records. Some of the records he broke was the longest free fall, 24 miles of free fall. 24 miles of free fall. I want you to imagine that, all that spinning. And I don't know how many physics majors we have in here, but in the process of falling 24 miles, he broke the sound barrier, and he went 844 miles per hour in free fall, the fastest any individual has ever been that has not been in some kind of vehicle. So listen, I don't know what gets into somebody's mind that says, hey, what would happen if we rigged up a helium balloon and we went up 24 miles in the air and I jumped out of it? I mean, I'm not sure what goes through somebody's mind. And I've always been somebody who wanted to skydive. I'm still somebody who wants to skydive. Whenever I die, I will die as somebody who wants to skydive. But, you know, there are some people that they push the envelope and they go for it. And the rest of us, we kind of get to live off their excitement and their adrenaline. We get to live a little off their glory. But we don't necessarily experience it ourselves. Can you imagine what life would be like if there were not people that were willing to go up in a helium balloon and jump for the rest of us to watch and wonder what is wrong with them? It truly is something that it adds to all of our lives, this entrepreneurial adventure spirit that says, let's push the boundaries. Let's go somewhere that no one else has gone before. Let's just see if it can happen. And if we die, we die. You know, there's worse things that can happen. But let's just see what can happen. And the rest of the world, just we get to experience that together. I love that about Felix Baumgartner. That is not true about me. I'm glad it's true about Tim. And some more of you, maybe we'll get a group up. Bruce will go, won't you? You'll jump out. Yeah. Scott. Oh, Kidmo needs to go. Kidmo can jump next door. Okay. Thanks. All right, while they're going out, let me catch you up on a few things that are going on. We've got a great egg hunt that's coming up. This is going to be the Saturday before Easter. Now, this will be our third year of doing the great egg hunt. Last year, I don't know how many eggs we did. I think we counted like 4,000 or 5,000 eggs last year, and I think we're going to try to do more this year. So if you are interested in getting eggs, if you have anyone that you know in any way that would be interested in doing an egg hunt, then we want you to invite them to come. It's going to be at Vandergrift Park the Saturday before Easter. So I think that's the 30th. It's going to be a great time. You'll notice there's a table out here in the hallway. If you'd like to get involved, we have some teams working. We could use more help to pull it off, because the reason we do these kinds of events, honestly, it's not because we want all the kids that are here every weekend to be able to get more eggs, because we know you're going to get them some Easter eggs. What we want to do is provide an opportunity to reach out to our community with nothing. We want nothing from them other than just to say, hey, we have a fun time together and we just want to bless your family. And so it's a great opportunity for us as a church to just get involved in other people's lives, to give to our community, and just for them to benefit. And if we can build some relationships with them, then fantastic. And if not, then we've helped brighten their day and let them know that followers of Jesus can have a good time too. So that's coming up very quickly. Now, we're doing something different this year we've never done before. It's not my idea. It was my wife's idea. It's a bad idea, but we're going with it anyways. In order to help fund some of the things, because we do a lot of giveaways, we give a lot of door prizes away, and then we put more stuff in eggs besides just candy. We're not going to give a car away or anything like that. If some churches have done that before, we're not doing that. But in order to help fund this, my wife came up with this terrible idea that a few of us ought to get pies in the face, and you ought to pay a buck to be able to do it. You can cheer all you want. It's still a bad idea. But if you're interested in doing that, they're selling tickets $1 a piece. And then at the end of the egg hunt, apparently David and Scott and John and myself, I don't know how Richard missed out on this. Wendy must have been involved in this planning meeting and exempted him. But so we are all going to be back there. And if you want to pay $1 for a ticket, and I really wouldn't if I were you. I think it sounds like a terrible, no, I'm just kidding. You need to spend $1. If you want to do that, at the egg hunt, at the very end, we're going to throw pies at people. And so we would love for you to come and be that and be here for that. One last thing about the egg hunt. I know that's a lot, but we're coming up on it. One more thing is if you would help us just to bring candy, we have a ton of eggs. But if you would be willing to bring candy starting next week and some whipped cream, because apparently they think we're going to need whipped cream for this pie throwing contest. If you'd be willing to bring that starting next week, that would be fantastic. And so we're going to do that, and then we'll let you know about some egg stuffing opportunities, which are going to be on Friday night. In a couple of weeks. So we'll let you know more about that. If you're our guest today, you've already figured out that we're a little weird, a little different. We do weird stuff. We play music from the 80s, which is the best music that was ever created, in my opinion. Thank you. Thank you. And so we get to do that. We talk about pies and we forget to dismiss kids. It's an incredible experience here at Journey Church. But we're glad that you're here. We got to open up our coffee bar today. So we thank everybody that's been involved with that. And that's going to be a fun thing to use in the coming weeks. If you're our guest, we really just want you to enjoy yourself, make some new friends and be able to worship freely. But we have a little card. If you would be willing to give this to us, this is all we ask. It's you can open it up. There's a little area where you can fill out some information, whatever you want to fill out. And you can tear that off, take half of it with you. And when we pass our bucket around towards the end of the service, if you'll just drop that in there, and that would be an incredible gift to us. We would appreciate that. So we're glad that you're here. Jump, for this series, we've got a couple of goals for this. Goal number one is we want every person to understand that following Jesus Christ is an exciting adventure. But it is an adventure that must start with an incredible amount of faith in something that can't necessarily be seen or heard in the way that we normally see and hear. But to live a life without anyone who ever jumps is a very mundane, cold, lonely existence. And what we have throughout Scripture is we have story after story of people that have been willing to make incredible sacrifices in their life and jump out in faith to see God do incredible things around us. Because here's what we know about being a follower of Jesus. The life of a follower of Jesus is not all just roses all the time. In fact, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, Scripture clearly teaches us that if you're going to follow Jesus, you're actually going to experience quite a bit of hardship, because following after the footsteps of our Savior in a world that doesn't value that can be very difficult. But what God promises is not that you will live a life of misery if you follow God. What He promises is in the midst of all of it, He will be there, and it will not be as big a deal as other people may think, because you actually receive something that is far greater than any hardship we would experience in this world. He even uses it so far as to help us deal with anything else that would come down the road later in our lives. We grow through that. He grows us in our ability to have faith. He grows us in our ability to be long-suffering. He grows us in our ability to deal with each other's hurts and pains and to be able to be healthy through it all. And what the world sees often when this happens, they just scratch their head and they're not sure what's going on, because the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit is incredible. It's far greater than anything we can ever experience while we're in this world. And so that's our first goal. We want you to experience and really think through in your life. You may not be willing to jump out of a space capsule, but God wants you to jump out of something. He may want you to jump from outer space. He may just want you to make a big leap somewhere at work and make a change at work, make a change at home, make a change in your community, your neighborhood, or your church. And what we're going to see is we're going to be reading through Hebrews chapter 11 and a few verses in Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to turn there, what we're going to see is a list of people that are held out as those who were willing to jump. And the amazing thing is none of their stories are the same. Sometimes we assume that whenever we see somebody do something great within the world, we think, well, everybody has to do that. In fact, Christians are, we're probably the worst at this than anybody. Somebody does something, and rather than us seek God and what he wants for us, we just try to copy them, and then we end up falling flat, and we wonder what happened. Because we weren't making a leap of faith. We were just following somebody else who made their leap of faith. But as we look through all, especially the patriarchs of the Old Testament, what we find is every leap of faith that God pushed somebody to was different than everybody else's. So I want you to really begin thinking over these next few weeks in your own life, what is God saying to you? Because God wants to speak to every individual, not just to the collective. He has something for you. He has a mission for you. And while we all may have a common expression of faith in our Savior, we will not all express that in the same way in the world. And so we're going to be talking about that over these next 4 weeks. We're also going to be talking about journey as a church community. We're coming up on 5 years as a church, which is I'm pretty excited about. But we're also at a stage where, you know, we were a church plant for 5 years, but we're here now. So what does that look like? Whenever you're kind of starting something, and I know we've got some entrepreneurs in the room, when you're starting something, there's things that things happen a little different than once you kind of get moving. Once you get moving, you can't always handle things the way you did when you started. And so we're going to be challenging you with some things for what it looks like for us to continue to influence our community. We're not going to try to build a multi-million dollar facility, because I think a lot of times when we start talking language like this, people think, oh, they're going to build some big building. We're not going to build some multi-million dollar facility, but we want to increase our impact for those around us that need Jesus. And so we're going to be talking about ways that we can do that. And we are in a large part going to be relying on you to make this happen, because there's only so many of those in leadership that can make it happen. So we're going to be relying on you. So I hope that as God leads us to make some huge leaps of faith in the next few weeks, that you will be in tune with what he wants to say to you. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open up to Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to take some notes, that's great. You can also use YouVersion. The notes are on YouVersion. If you're not already using it, then I would encourage you to put it on your phone, put it on your tablet or your computer, and go to it regularly. It's a great opportunity to start using some reading plans. It's also a great opportunity just to follow what we're doing here. You can tweet or Facebook from it, whatever you want to do, but it's just a great tool. And I do encourage you to watch the Bible series that starts tonight on the History Channel. It is going to be great. So it's just great to see the pictures come to life, and it appears that it's been handled very well. So let's jump in. Let me ask you this, just as a starting question. What in your life can you point to that you jumped for no reason at all but to follow Jesus? I want you to think back. Now, we may all make jumps for certain things. There's a career we want, so we kind of have to take a risk to try to get into that career. Or maybe there's a house we want, and we kind of have to risk financially to get the house we want. Or maybe there's a car, and we got to risk for the car. Or maybe there was somebody that we really wanted to be with, and they wouldn't give us the time of day. We did some crazy stuff to get their attention. But I want you to think specifically, what are some things that God, that you have done, that you have taken a leap of faith for no other reason but simply to follow Jesus? And I know some of you have some stories that just are incredible stories that rival just as many of the stories of Scripture. And some of you may be thinking, I don't know that I've taken a leap of faith. For some of us, we've come from different backgrounds, and in order to follow Jesus, we were completely rejected by those that we called our friends. And so for you, a leap of faith was following Jesus, and then people that were your friends no longer wanted to be your friends anymore. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was a group of people you hung out with, and in order to follow Jesus, you could not honor that and continue in the same things you were doing before, and so you pulled away. And that was terribly difficult to do that. Maybe for you, it was a move. It was a move to another part of the country or another part of the world. It could have been a huge financial sacrifice. You saw a need, you met it, it left you with very little for yourself, and God provided for you. So what are some of the things, some of the leaps of faith you have taken simply to follow Jesus? And I believe that every single person who says, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, ought to have something. It may not be the huge story that's going to be all over CNN, But it would be huge for God because you trusted him and you went for it. And one of the things I love about the way that Scripture talks about followers of Jesus is, you know, we operate completely different than the way the world operates. You know, in the world, you really get held up and celebrated if you do something big, or if you have a lot of money, or if you attain a high position, or if you're a celebrity and you've been successful in something and a lot of cameras are on you. We look outwardly at what people have done, and we celebrate those as a world, as the world does. But God doesn't do that. God looks inwardly and celebrates the battles that you fight inwardly. He doesn't just look at your success. In fact, some people who are hugely successful are some of the most miserable people on the planet. And some people who would never be called successful are some of the most content, happy, and influential people you will ever meet from the kingdom of Christ. I love that God does not hold us up to this arbitrary, what have you done that is worthy of being celebrated, versus what is going on inside of you with your heart. It's a beautiful way of him saying, you are valuable and important, even if no one else says that. God says, you are valuable. You matter. And he says, I have a mission for you if you will accept it. The question is, for many of us, will we do that? For followers of Jesus, a step of faith that takes us wherever that is, are just as high as jumping from the stratosphere. For some of you, the relationships you've had to walk away from or that have walked away from you, the stakes are just as high. Having to leave a career or leave a lifestyle is just as high as jumping out of a capsule. I don't know what yours is, but I hope you have something. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. This is what it says about faith. It says, starting with verse 1, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you're reading from a different version, that's fine. The ESV is online and on the screen. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, which is very difficult for me because I like to see things. I've never bought a car without driving it, but I know some of you have. I've never bought really anything without having my hands on it because I'm very tactile. I like to experience it. I like to see it, smell it. How big is it? What color is it? How do I experience it? For me, living in the world in the things that I cannot see requires a great amount of willingness for me to say, God, I don't get it. I'm just going to have to trust you because I really would rather see this happen. Whenever we started talking about starting a church, I thought, there's just no way. My wife said, there's no way. So there was no way. Until God began to show us how he was going to move. And for us, a lot of times he has to show me some steps because he just leads me along because I like to see things. I like to touch them. I like to see what we're jumping out for. But many times that's not the way he acts. That's not the way he responds. And some of the stories that they're going to share in these coming verses are people that never got any of that. In fact, it even goes so far as to say the things that they leapt for, they never experienced before they died. I mean, it is an incredible history of a people who say, we are going to trust God no matter what. Whether we see it or not, whether we experience it or not, we're going to trust him. It goes on, it says, for by it, talking about faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In other words, this world, these seats, the ground, the air, the atmosphere, the things we can touch and feel, if anything, they are less real than the things that God already supernaturally is. The foundation of the world is not the core of the earth. The foundation of the world is the will of God who said, I will create this. And it is him who sustains everything. As I've said over and over, there is no conflict between science and faith. I know there's a huge debate. There is no conflict between science and faith. God created science. Bottom line. If they are able to extrapolate a mathematical formula and that unlocks all of creation, they will only have done that because God has revealed the workings of his hands. And for us to be able to say, you know what? Whoa. I don't know what happened. except for us to be able to see and to trust that truly the foundation of the world is God himself, and the rest of this stuff, in many ways, is just a distraction. Is to have faith in God and to trust that he created it all. I love the way it words that. What is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God has been at work behind the scenes. One question I'd ask you is this. Do our lives truly reflect a belief in the supernatural reality of God? Do they really reflect that? Does my life really reflect the belief that I worship and follow a supernatural God who has no limitations at all in his life? One of the best indicators of that is what your prayer life looks like. What do you pray for? What are you desperate for? Are you desperate for the normal things of life, the everyday? Just get me through today. Just get me through this argument I'm having. Just get me through this paycheck that I'm not sure if I'm going to get. Or are you thinking outside of that? Are you looking at the needs of others? Are you looking at the way God is working around you? I have found that as long as I focus on my problems, life is really not very good. Has anybody else experienced that? When you focus on my problems, life isn't very good either. Right now. That's not what I meant. But when we focus on ourselves and our own individual issues, life can get very bleak at times. But I've also found that people that are consistently looking out for others and how is God at work in the world and what is God doing in the lives of others and what can I do to join him to help others, all of a sudden my problems seem to just go away. Or maybe they didn't go away. They just I realize they don't matter because there's a bigger world out there. Do our lives truly demonstrate that we believe in the supernatural reality of our Savior? That he was able to conquer death, that he was able to get down off that cross, go into the tomb, and then walk out and conquer death. Do we believe that? Do we believe that all that was created by this God? And I think one of the things our culture struggles with is we want our God to prove himself to us. Like somehow we have a higher moral, emotional compass than the creator of the world does. And so we judge him based on how he acts and what he has done and whether it's acceptable or not. People will say, I can't follow God because his people are like this, or I can't follow Jesus because this is what it says in the Bible, and I just can't agree with that. And the bottom line is you can agree or not agree. Then we're talking about the supernatural creator of the world. If he says this is good, this is good. And if our minds struggle and say this is bad, it's because we have failed to understand the mind of God. There's a supernatural reality that is so much more important. And I know whenever you begin thinking about making big leaps of faith, you do what I do, you do what my wife and I did whenever we started talking about doing this. And this is not a huge leap of faith. This is a leap of faith when we start a journey, but there's a lot bigger leaps than that. For us, we sat down like many of you would and we counted the cost. What's it going to cost? What are we going to have to do? What's it going to take? Who are we going to have to get involved in this? And sometimes that's what God wants us to do. But there are other times that we just have to trust you. If you are calling me to this, if you're telling me this is your will for my life, I have no choice but to go for it no matter what I see or no matter what I experience. And I think that we struggle as Christians to do that today. I don't think the world sees us taking leaps of faith that impact others. I think they see us take leaps of faith that help ourselves, because we want our lives to be better. But do they see us mimicking the heart of God for a world that is lost? Or do they just see us trying to make our way as best we can for ourselves personally? For us, a step of faith is huge. And do our lives really reflect the belief in a supernatural God? Or do our lives really reflect our trust in ourselves? I think for a lot of people, we've come to that. We trust in ourselves. Goes on, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says this. These are some of the stories. I want you just to hear some of these stories. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? The story of God saying, I want you to bring me a sacrifice. Bring me the first fruits of everything that you grow. And Abel, he was a sheep herder, so he raised sheep. And Cain, he worked the ground, so he raised crops. And it's kind of a weird story because in the end, they both bring him to God. And God says, hey, Abel, yours is good. Cain, yours is bad.
He doesn't really go into a whole lot more detail other than what we find is that Abel truly trusted God and he brought the very best he had. Now, I want you to imagine that you're raising your food and you're thinking, I've got to provide for my family. And whenever you're raising food, whether it's crops or animals, some are good, some are not. You want to take care of the good ones because those are the ones that are going to feed you. And God comes along and he says, I want you to recognize all that I've given you. I need you to give me a portion back. But you can keep the rest. But bring me the first, the best. And in this story, Cain chooses to bring a portion, but it's the leftover stuff. It's the stuff that's not what God requested, the first or the best. Truly trusting that God would continue to provide even after the sacrifice or the offering. And so he said, Cain, you've sinned because you haven't been obedient. And long story short, if you're familiar with this at all, Cain gets mad that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and his wasn't, and he kills his brother. And it's just a terrible story that begins with our human existence because his desire was not to please God, but his desire was to please himself. It says, and through his faith, though he died, talking about Abel, he still speaks. What does that mean? Well, we're still talking about him. By faith, Enoch, and Enoch's another story that there's almost nothing in Scripture about Enoch other than he walked with God. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death and he was not found because God had taken him. In other words, we don't know much anything about him except it says he followed God, he walked with God, and then God took him to heaven. That's all we know. Now, before he was taken, he was commended and as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Just let this marinate. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's flip that around. Living a safe life cannot please God. Living a predictable life doesn't please God. Living by faith pleases God. Now I want you to imagine within your own life, what does that look like? What does it look like to step out in faith? Now, as I've mentioned, before we go to the extreme of saying, well, this person, it was obvious he took a big leap of faith and was a huge success because of it. God is not looking for people to take leaps of faith to be celebrated by other people. He's looking for you to take a leap of faith and obedience wherever he's telling you to go to be celebrated by him. And so when we put other people on a pedestal and say, yeah, that's the real deal, and they're not. We assume that we see them through God's eyes, and we cannot. We cannot see into the hearts of people the way that God can. So wherever you are in life, if you're thinking, well, I live a safe life. Well, maybe it's time to be a little less safe. I live a predictable life. Maybe it's time to be a little less predictable. Predictability means I know what I'm going to do before I do it, and there's no need for God to intervene and instruct me otherwise. God will move you in different ways. Some of the people that I've always been inspired by are people that follow Christ and they don't do the same thing forever. I don't know why. I don't know if I'm just a little ADD in that, but I love to see people who they just follow God. They do something for a while and all of a sudden they do something else, following God. It's just as if they are so in tune with what he wants for their lives and they refuse to be entrapped by a sedentary, predictable life. I think that's the adventure that first really inspired me to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do and go wherever you want me to go. I don't know where that is or what that will look like for the rest of my life, but it's not really for me to have to worry about that, you know? And I just get to follow. And you just get to follow. And he says, go and you go. And what you find out is when you went, it was so much better than had you stayed because God knows what he's talking about. And there may be somebody's life who is forever changed because you went rather than stayed. Following God is an incredible adventure. It is full of fear. but is an incredible adventure. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I don't think a lot of us struggle with, does God exist? I mean, most of us in the room at some level have come to the realization God must exist in some way. We may not all believe the same things. We may not all express it the same way, but you're probably not spending your Sunday morning, cold Sunday morning, here if you haven't already overcome this basic, simple, there is a God. But I would say there are a lot of people who never get past that. There are a lot of people that attend church every single week, and their lives never get past a simple belief, well, God exists. But they never truly experience walking with him just every day, hearing from him, communicating with him, being used by him to impact the world positively, because they never get past this. You simply believe he exists. But it says he rewards those who seek him. Wouldn't it be great if Christians were just known for seeking God? Wouldn't that be awesome? That's not the case. But wouldn't it be awesome if when people say, Christians, oh yeah, those are those people that seek after God. Wouldn't that be a positive thing? And yet, do our lives truly look like that? I think one of the reasons that many of our lives don't look like that is just either fear, or we have watched somebody, we did not agree with how they lived out their faith, and so we wanted to have no part of it. But what would it look like if we just pursued God? What would our families look like? What would our relationships with other people look like? What would our church look like if every one of us consistently were just pursuing God 24/7? Not 2 hours once a week. 24/7 we were pursuing God. What would it look like? I don't know. I think it would be awesome. But I don't really know what it would look like. I wrote down this. I think it's true. I don't think I live this way every day, but I believe it's true that pleasing God is our mission. Our mission is to please God. Not for God to please us, to give us what we want or need. Not for me to be pleased so that I can be happy with everything that goes on in my life. But does my life please God, the creator, the supernatural creator of everything? Can we say that we please him? Certainly we can't say that all the time. I can't say that all the time. If that were true, I would never have to ask for forgiveness, and I have to do that all the time. Repentance would never be a problem because we would never have anything to repent from, but yet God says, no one is righteous. No one does this on their own. But what would it look like if we were just constantly on mission to please God? I truly believe he reveals what that is through his word. And I believe that within our world, I think we're going to struggle with this as a church. I think we're going to struggle with this as long as we're in existence. I think the church is going to struggle with this until Jesus returns. We live in a world that is looking to wrap the world around their understanding, not trying to wrap their understanding about what is true. We want to make the world make sense. We want to make everybody and their actions make sense. We want to diagnose them and give causes for them. Whenever we have something terrible that happens in the world, what's the first thing that the news media try to do? Try to explain it. Why did this happen? There's something in us that if we can understand the why, we're okay. Even if it's bad, if we can understand the why and hopefully keep it from happening again, we're okay. That's why natural disasters are so hard for us, because we have no control over that. But a lot of times our goal is simply to make the world fit into the way we already see. That's why so many churches are dying today, because the church is not seeking God. The church is just seeking to make the church feel good to them. And God says, don't make me feel good to you. Pursue me. And you'll experience more than you'll ever experience otherwise. I think we're going to struggle with this. We live in a world that we want maximum praise for minimum effort. We want to put the very minimum in, but we want everybody to stand up and tell us how good it was. We do that with our kids. We do that with ourselves. We do that at our jobs. Are you known for being one of the hardest workers at your job? You know, this is something that's going to kill us as a nation. It is killing us as a nation. I want to do the very minimum, but I want to receive the maximum. God says, put everything out there. Don't worry what you get back. Just put it out there. That pleases me. And it is something that is going to make it so hard for the church to move forward, or the gospel to move forward, if our society does not reverse this trend. I mean, there's no indication that it will or should. Pleasing God is our mission. How much time do we spend wrapping our minds around what God says is pleasing? How much time do we spend in God's word saying, this pleases God. Now, how do I make this work in my life? And how much time do we just try to rationalize it out? One of the trends that we're also seeing is this renewed vigor to be non-judgmental, which, don't get me wrong, I think is a great thing. None of us, we are not the judges. But along with that is almost a blind eye to anything that is unbiblical, because we don't want to offend anybody. And whenever we do that and we're turning a blind eye, and it's just easier to ignore Scripture. It's just easier to say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I don't really read the Bible. You know, I don't really agree with everything in there, but I am a Christian. How can you say that? I mean, how can a person say, I love Jesus, but I don't love his word? I mean, how can we follow him and not know it? And yet the Bible is maybe one of the biggest bestsellers on the planet, but it's not read very much because we don't really want to pursue that. See, faith is saying, I'm ready to wrap my life. I'm ready to kill it the way it existed before. And I'm ready to be reinvented into something that only God can create. But yet we so hunger for the things of the world because they're so pleasing to our eyes, because it's just easier to focus on what we can see and touch. And God says, there's so much more value if you'll just trust me. Wrap your mind around me and let me change you. Let's keep going. I want to read these. Let's just read these real quickly. Just some more stories that throughout Hebrews. It says, by faith Noah, you know the story of Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. It's a great story now, but at the time he needed to be committed. What's he building a boat for? Sure, it's a great story once you see the backside of it, but what if he hadn't? And he said, God, I'm just sorry. Until I see the rain, I'm not going to start. I just got to see it. It says he was warned by God. By this, God condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place. You remember the story of Abraham? He didn't even say where he's going to go. I would love to take a vacation like this. I do not want to make a life move like this. Just go, and then when you get there, I'll tell you. Well, you know, is it going to be warm, or, is there going to be a beach there? Can you just give me a little something here? But he just said, go, and he went. For some of you in this room, I know God has told you to go, and you've gone. And for some of you in this room, you're thinking, God may be telling me to go, but I'm just not sure. And I understand that. You have to be sure that you're trusting God, and you're not just trusting something that you've cooked up in your own mind. You've got to make sure this is God saying this to you. And he just got up and went. Nobody understood, and he had a ton of stuff. It's not like it was an easy operation. It's one thing when you have nothing. You can pack everything in the back of your Pinto and then move to another city. But it's another when you've got an empire and a huge family to take with you. And that was the story of Abraham. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place, and he was received as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. Remember the story? She laughed. You're going to have a baby. What? I'm too old for that. And she got pregnant. She received power to conceive, and when she was past the age, she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, which was his promise, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. What are we missing in our lives because we refuse to trust supernaturally and to follow faithfully? What are we missing? That's my biggest fear. This is not a spiritual fear hey, God has brought me to a level of maturity and now I fear better than everybody else fears. This is just a fear. It's like everybody else's. I hate to miss out on something. I don't want to miss it. I'm going to experience it. If there's something to be had, I don't want to get to the rest, to the end of my life and God lay out what could have been and me go, that would have been awesome, God. That's one of my biggest fears in life. To truly see what God wants and to go for it. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of fear that goes along with that. When God says go for it, that's hard. To leave connections is hard. To change the way we live is hard. If it was easy to change the way we live, we wouldn't have so many people addicted to stuff that want it off. It would just be easy, but it's hard. Because we get used to life like that. Look at this in verse 13. It says this. All these people that we've talked about, these all died in faith. In other words, they went to their grave having faith. I don't know. I have to ask, when I read this kind of stuff, I go, man, I don't know what I would do in this situation. Straight up, I don't know. They died not seeing these things that were promised them. The promise was enough. Following God was enough. Being a part of His plan was enough. And whether they ever experienced it or were celebrated because of it in their lifetime. We celebrate it now, but not in their lifetime. It's enough. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Listen to this. If they had been thinking of that homeland from which they had gone out, if they had been thinking about what their life looked like before as home, as the place to be, as a place to settle and stay, if they were thinking of that as their land, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. Let's take out country. They desire a better life. They desire a better story. They desire a better future. They desire a better lifestyle. They desire a better opportunity for their family and for themselves. They desire, let's even broaden it to say, they desire a better kingdom for God than just in their own life. See, the old stuff, it wasn't even something to go back to. It wasn't home anymore. But where God was taking them was worth abandoning everything for. Can you say that that's going on in your life? And of course, some of these questions I'm asking, they're ridiculous, aren't they? Of course not. Of course we can't say that about every single moment of our life. But what is God moving you to? What are you trusting Him for? What are you seeking and pursuing within your own life? Because if you're not willing to jump, you'll never experience what's better. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Our faith is dashed on the rocks of what we can see and feel in the world many, many times. I got to see it and touch it. I got to know it's real. For many of us, we will take something that's less because it is comfortable and it is tangible than really reaching out for what is better. Because it's just normal for you and I to accept what's comfortable and tangible and easy. That's just how we're wired. But it is not the way of the follower of Jesus. As we seek further, we go farther, we look for what He is saying. And And let me just be very clear about this. This is not just us coming up with a big idea and saying, hey, this is the biggest idea we can think of. It's got to be God. I'm going to tell you, a lot of big ideas fail miserably because they weren't God. They were just a big idea. And the way that you come across the big idea that God has is you learn to communicate with him. God is not one who just says, hey, man, I've got this great plan. Good luck. Hope you find it. Like it's a treasure map you got to locate. And I think that's one of the hardest things for me as a young believer was I just always thought God's will was so mysterious. And it is. I mean, it's still a mystery and how he's going to work because God rarely reveals the whole plan ahead of time. He just takes you a step along the way. But God doesn't want it to be a mystery. And he has given us the opportunity to follow him. And one of the things that I hate for my generation and those following is we are consistently losing links to our past. We are consistently losing those links to our ancestors, to those that went before us. We fail to celebrate the works of those that have gone before us, and instead we have nothing but criticism because they didn't do it the way we would have done it. And boy, we have really done a great job of it, haven't we? We're losing what has gone on before us, but yet it is given to us to give us strength and wisdom as those who have sought God before us. So I love this passage when it's just tying faith and to look at the faith of those who are old, because if someone else has done it, it's easier for me to do it. If someone else trusted God and God held them up, I can trust God. Let's not forget the things that people have done before us. We're in a very youth-oriented culture, and maybe I'm just, you know, regretting the fact that I'm no longer one of those, but not really. I really like where I am in life. We need to celebrate those who have gone before us. The hard work, what we have is very much a part of what they provided for us. We get the benefit of it. And when God talks about faith, he says, remember the faith of those who have come before you. Just trust in that. I have been faithful to them. I will be faithful to you if you will trust me. Know my words and follow them. Let me jump down to verse 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me. In other words, you're preaching too long. For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. In other words, they're just stories. There's a ton of them. For you and I, it's not just their stories. It's the stories of people that are alive with us now. The story of people that have been alive since the writing of Scripture. We have multiple experiences to see. That's why community is so important. Trust in my experience. Let me trust in your experience. God is faithful to us all. But only if we're interconnected with each other. So time would fail to tell about all those stories who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. How about that? Do you believe that's true? Can God do that? I don't know. That sounds like a story to me. Got to believe that stuff is true. He quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put four armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. That would be great to see. Some were tortured. Here you go. Here's good followers of Jesus just live easy lives. How about this? These people that are being celebrated, some were tortured. And yet they followed. It's worthy of following him. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Boy, this is just no way to encourage somebody to follow Jesus, is it? But look at all they went through and they still did it. Why? Because he is worth it. And if we get wrapped up in our minds that God wants us to have a crazy, comfortable, wonderful, exciting, predictable life, that's not following God. That's just comfortably nestling into the world. He's not saying that you're going to get sawn in two, I hope, if you follow him. But he's saying following him is so much better, and the world may never understand why you do it, but it is worth it. And all these, though commended through their faith, listen to this, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They did it anyways. Now, what was promised? Ultimately, Jesus was promised. Ultimately, it's his grace that we don't have to somehow jump through hoops in order to find favor with God. We find favor with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. They never saw that, but yet they acted faithfully. They hoped for it. And they still acted. And some of them made no sense. Take your son, put him on an altar, act like you're going to kill him. Except he didn't say act like, he said kill him. And then God stopped him. I mean, that's craziness. And if we did something like that today, you know, we'd be all in jail, you know. But God did that stuff. And he trusted him because God had already said, your son, you know, I want you to go kill him. But he'd already promised descendants through the son. He didn't think God was going to kill him. God, he thought God would fulfill his promise. What promises has God given you that you have forgotten about? What promises have you acted on that all of a sudden you're not sure what you're, if you believe it anymore? God fulfills his promises. And there are those that their promises were so big that it had to happen after their life was over, but yet they acted faithfully. What will we do in this time, in this community, and in this world to be faithful to God so that his kingdom will affect a people that need him? Or will we simply go about life trying to be comfortable? You cannot jump and be comfortable. I don't care who you are, Felix Baumgartner or whoever you are. If you're standing up there and you can see the entire horizon of the world, there is, your heart is beating before you jump. I'm not going to test that theory. My heart would stop. But I know his heart was beating. Whenever you take a leap of faith, it beats. But let me tell you something. That tells you you're alive. Versus sitting comfortable and your heart just not moving at all. Trusting God is the greatest adventure of life. Having faith to follow him and to follow his word. It does not always make sense, but it always pans out. And people need to see that in us. They don't need to see us taking his word and beating somebody over the head and telling them, you're not worthy to even be alive because you have sinned, which is what we like to do with the Bible. We need to simply take the Bible and say, I'm not worthy to be alive because I've sinned, but by grace he has saved me. And he can do the same for you. Pleasing God has got to be the primary goal of our hearts and our minds. They didn't even see these things and they still followed. I'm going to just give you four quick things. I'm just going to give them really quick because it's kind of a wrap up of everything I've just shared. Number one, following God without restraint is absolutely necessary to please him. Let's not confuse this with being accepted through the blood of Jesus Christ. Following God does not mean you do everything right and God accepts you as his child. That happens only because of the blood of Jesus and our accepting his gift as a sacrifice. There's nothing we can do to please God apart from Jesus Christ. But when we have received Christ, we must follow him. Not just say we believe, but actually live it out. Number two, living a life of faith usually looks painful to the rest of the world. I wouldn't do that. It looks crazy. Yeah, the world doesn't understand. But God understands. He's working through you. It oftentimes looks painful. That does not mean that you are in pain going through it. Because what God provides through the Holy Spirit is so much greater. Number three, our Savior is in our past and our present, but our hope is in the future in God's kingdom. In other words, no matter where he tells us to leap, if Felix's parachute had not opened and he's a follower of Jesus, it's still going to be a good day for him. The world won't see it that way. Man, that was stupid. Why did he do that? Man, but if he's a believer, it would have been a good day no matter what happened. No matter what your leap of faith is, if you follow him, no matter what happens, it will be a good day. And you will be commended by God. Our Savior is in our past and our present. I want us to never just put heaven as the fulfillment of God's work. He wants to fulfill his work within you now. But no matter what happens here, that is there. We can trust in that. We read about that in Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that anybody can boast, although we're all good at boasting. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's important. We were created for that. which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. And the fourth thing is this. Faith is the response of obedience. There are times that you cannot act in faith outside of just God said to do it. I don't get it. I don't want to do it. I'm going to do it because God said to do it and I'm following him. Faith begins with obedience. When God says to do something, it is going to make at times your stomach churn and make your heart pump hard. But to be able to follow through with that, it pleases God. And it continues to allow him to work within your life and your family. I want to encourage you. I don't know how God wants you to jump. I certainly don't have a list of what I need you to do to jump. It's not my list. It's God's list. He needs to speak that to you. There are some things we all do. It's just a part of being a follower of Jesus. And then there are some things it is about you. It is about between you and God. And he's going to tell you what that is. Your jumping in faith may not be noticed by anybody except for God. Somebody will probably notice because he's probably wants to use it for somebody else. But you may not be noticed by anybody else other than God, and be okay with that. And if for some reason you get noticed because you take a leap of faith and people go, man, he took a leap of faith. Ah, that's really good. You need to be very, very careful. Do you know that the very beginning of a downward spiral away from Christ is to believe your own good press? Believe what the good things people say about you, and you're in trouble. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because it feels good. Come on, bring it. Yeah, tell me how good. Yeah. And that is the beginning of the end for any influence you'll have. I just want to encourage you. I know this is kind of a different kind of sermon we've had. I can't say it any other way than God has given us an opportunity through Christ to know him. He's given us a life to live, to follow him, not just to try to chart our way so that at the end of it we feel good about it, but to impact the supernatural kingdom of God. But we have to agree to go for it. And if we sit back and sit comfortably and we sit in all the manufactured things of that's comfortable within the world, we will miss it. And we do not want to get to the end of our lives and go, God, boy, you had this great plan. I just wish we had gone for it. I want us to go for it. And I don't know what it is. I believe God is moving us as a community for some things. But I think as a bigger move of God among our community, God wants to say some things to individuals in here. It may have nothing to do with journey. God wants to speak to you because he wants you to change the world through him. Believe that about yourself. Trust in God that he is good. Trust that he will follow through with what he says. Trust that he will work through his instructions and his commands. We're going to close with a song. And as we do this, we're also going to take our offering. If you're our guest, we'd love for you to turn your card in. Or if you're a regular attender, this is a great opportunity for your time of worship to give. But I want to encourage you. Let's take a leap together. Let's jump, not for some crazy idea, but let's jump for the things that God calls us to. And let's see the world change as a result. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I thank you that you will use anyone. Father, I thank you that you are active among us and that your grace overcomes much of our sin and much of our unfaithfulness. I pray for those that are here today. I pray that you would help us to take that leap. I don't know what it is for everybody. I pray that we would never become so comfortable that we miss out on the goodness of your plan. Father, don't let us ever get so wrapped up in our own lives that we miss the beauty of what's going on or what has happened in the past. Let us celebrate those who have gone before us, who have been demonstrating faith among us. Those that took great chances so that the gospel would go out. Those who gave their lives because this is the good news for all eternity. Father, let us never become so comfortable or so wrapped up in ourselves that you call us and we don't respond. Pray for those that are here today and they're just not sure. This whole thing is just feels weird and following you. And I just pray that you would speak to them very clearly because what we fail to communicate as people, you communicate absolutely beautifully as our God. So I pray that you would speak to them. Father, as a community of faith, let us support each other and encourage each other. Let us never shy away from taking a leap, but let us always make sure that we are in tune with what you are calling us to and not some fabrication of our own works. God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his love. I thank you for forgiveness. And I thank you that I am your child. We can be your children, even if we have to come back and repent time and time again, that you are our God and you have covered us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of this. We give this worship as a gift to you. In Jesus' name, amen.